Well, you know, it's in Tucumcari, New Mexico. It's about 150 miles to the east of Albuquerque.
Okay. How far from Holloman?
Holloman, it looks like it's off the 030 off Holloman for about 220 miles.
Okay. It's kind of hard for us to see here. Okay. 030 for about 200. We don't have anything going on that I know of.
Yeah, I didn't know. We tried everybody else, and nobody else. This guy definitely saw it run all the way down the side of the airplane. So it was a very interesting thing.
Okay, it was at 30,000 feet.
30,000 feet.
It was like long.
It's right out of the X Files. I mean, it's a definite UFO or something like that. But I mean,
y'all are serious about this.
Yeah, he's real serious.
Welcome to Truth Radio Network, folks. What you just heard is an air traffic control audio recording from March 3rd, 2010 of a UFO sighting, the first one of many ATC audio recordings of pilots who have witnessed seeing unidentified flying objects hovering, flying past, or hovering above or below their aircraft. Today, we once again touch on this topic of the alien question, which is really all I can refer to it as, because something as broad and open for debate and interpretation as the alien phenomenon really is, it's kind of difficult to pin down what it is exactly. So from this point on, we can refer to it as a question, but one that demands an answer. That being said, we'll be taking calls today. People listening in want to call in and give it their input as to what they think about what we're talking about here today. You can go right ahead. We have a guest from Northern California and a person who usually doesn't say anything but just sits and looks at us while we're talking, or virtually anyway. Daniel in Toronto, Ontario, running the Fantastical Next Level group out of Facebook. Along with me, too. I run a group. Please do join if you feel like it. What I'm trying to talk about here today now is crop circles. We have, there have been many reports over the past 100 years, at least since we are able to report and get information out there via the means of the media or the internet, reports of strange circles with sacred geometrical significance embedded in them. Patterns like the Flower of Life or Metatron's Cube or just weird spirals with fractal geometry. There's actually mathematical ways of decoding these crop circles. Very mathematical ways of decoding these crop circles. I've seen some that look like Pokeballs, you know, like Pokemon. Have y'all forgotten about Pokemon? I've seen some that look like stars and others that actually appear to be the head of an alien with some circles shooting outwards. But I have Rivana 89,000 and Daniel in for this one. So, what you guys think about this?
Speaking of the one with the alien head, I saw a report where someone had gone through and decoded the what looked like, for lack of a better term, Morse code on the one disc portion of it. And then they had, I have an Oreo in my room here.
Shit!
A DNA spiral, which was not a human DNA spiral. And if you remember on, I think it was the Voyager, we sent out, you know, that golden record with the picture of the man and the woman and our DNA and the greetings in all different languages and all that. And what they said is that this is basically them sending us a copy of their version of that. So, I mean, that's pretty interesting.
Same thing actually happened outside of an observatory or some government facility where they had sent a signal with that same sort of styled greeting to the visitors, and it was of what planet we're on, what we look like, and all of that. And then the response to that the next day was in front of a highly guarded facility, a crop circle appeared outside rather than getting a message from rather than getting a message from the ETs, they left a crop circle with an image, an imprint of what they look like, what planet they're from, how many people, the language they speak, or something like that. Have you heard of this? Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, there have been plenty of crop circles over the past 100 years. In fact, right here. Hello? Yo.
Hey.
Finally, Danny. What's up, Danny?
Not much. Those crop circles are weird. Okay, so. Some of them, I think, are man-made. You probably can't explain all of them being man-made.
The question, guys, we would have to ask ourselves is, because all crop circles, whether they be man-made or otherwise, have energetic qualities similar to the ones man-made, similar to the ones that aren't. And the way that every crop circle is made in such a way that man couldn't make it, bending and twirling every single grain and fiber of the hay in such a way that it doesn't break, but it just neat enough so that it pushes down and makes this pattern that we see that's a crop circle. So it takes a really smart human being to make a circle like this, and then the question you have to ask is, why are they doing it?
Good questions.
Well, I think it's obviously an attempt to communicate. If you look, okay, everyone is going to remember this one. The Led Zeppelin box set that they came out with back in the day. It had a picture of what they referred to as the key glyphs. And they had, it was circles with these little arms coming out that looked like skeleton keys. Sorry about the bird here, guys. And that one, I showed it to a friend of mine when I was in Arizona. His grandfather was a Navajo medicine man, and he said that he had seen those glyphs before out in the Canyon de Chelly in southwest Arizona. And I mean, he looked for about 4 or 5 minutes before he even said anything at these pictures, and finally that's what he told me, is that I've seen these before, and he told me where. And I mean, it's, yes, bird.
I think the bird wants to get on the show, dude. How about you put him up to the mic? Maybe he has something enlightening to say.
You want to talk to him, guys? Come on, Lippy.
Oh, sure. Why not? And
yeah, he doesn't like it when I get up too close to the cage. He doesn't know me too well yet. I'm house-sitting for some friends at the moment, so.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's cool.
Yeah, there he goes again. But yeah, I think it's obviously an attempt to communicate. There's not really any other way you can look at it. And, you know, as far as people saying, you know, oh, the two guys with the rope and the boards did it or whatever, you know, yeah, some of them are faked. But there's video of a small orb coming down out of the sky, circling over the field, and a crop circle appearing. I mean, there's a video of that. We have video of them literally appearing.
I've seen the video. My friend Troy Thibodeau, if you're listening out there right now, Troy, this one goes out to you. Troy Thibodeau, with what used to be We Are Change Maine, and still might be, in fact, showed me a video of a crop circle appearing after 2 to 3 orbs were spotted the night before or during. The formation of this crop circle, there were 2 or 3 orbs just floating around and performing maneuvers, and then they just blink out, and then comes this shape, this object, this pattern in the field. You know what I mean, guys? So, I mean, we used to think back in the day that these crop circles were made by UFOs, but now that we have images and video of the things that are actually responsible for making these crop circles, it really brings to light a whole new question, which is, what are these orbs? What are these things that are appearing in the fields before the crop circles are formed? Why are they there, and what connection do they have to these other entities that we call extraterrestrials or ET or interdimensional interterrestrial beings, if any connection at all, if they're not in fact a separate entity. We have lost Rivana. Rivana 9000. That's a bummer. Daniel, I guess we're gonna hope that this video I have here has some words in it, huh? Yeah, this one actually brings to mind another crop circle that I had seen, which was of the shape of a CD ingrained binary code into the like there's binary code inputted into the CD shape of the crop circle, and in it read, I wish I could remember. We've lost him. He's gone. He is dead. The duck is fucking dead. We've lost Rivana. That's a bummer. Okay. The fuck do we do? Yo, Danny! Okay. That's great. Well, To put it into perspective, we have apparently hundreds of different races of what we could perceive to be aliens over the past thousands of years. We, for some reason, tie them all together as if they're the same entity because they're not from planet Earth. And now we have these orbs that are appearing in fields before the formation of a crop circle, which in themselves may be another entity. And in the vastness of our universe, it's very possible that many different races of alien beings are actually showing up on this planet at the same time. Take, for example, back in history, back in ancient China, we have the case of the Dropa stones, which were an ancient set of artifacts that are slowly disappearing over the course of years, and have been for the course of 50 years, Dropa stones, which were dropped here from some ancient group of extraterrestrial explorers. I'm not sure if I have this right, per se, but these stones apparently are like a record that if played, play some kind of a message. I know there's somebody listening right now who's got this. We, like I said, we're taking callers right now. What do you think about this, Robo?
I don't know much about crop circles at all.
That is a bummer. Okay. Well. But,
Do you think the energy is sort of around these crop circles or whatever they're called? Do you think they are related, the energy fields are related to the sacred geometry pattern?
Well, now that being said, the patterns, sacred geometrical patterns actually do emit some kind of an energy. If these crop circles were intended rather not only to send us a message, but in order to perpetuate some sort of energy, that too would bring to light quite a few questions. And really, all I have right now are questions. The group of people I had originally intended to come on the show have not gotten back to me, but I guess that's okay. It really brings us at a dead end. 13 minutes in, though.
Fox, you know, I went and stood in a.
Yeah, yeah, circle. You did say that you witnessed a crop circle. What was your experience with it?
It was at Danebury Hill, which was a place that was really familiar to me, and it was standing corn. And there was a little bit of wind damage in the field, but there was a very, very clear, precise crop circle that was three-dimensional, probably four-dimensional thing. And I walked into the center of that, and I didn't feel anything particularly strange until I got right in the center of it. And I just put my hand up over the absolute center of this crop circle. And it was a cool day, and I felt a warm breeze over my hand and then over my body, and then, you know, then it just went away. And I tested it again and, you know, got the same response. And I went back to that same crop circle a week or so later, maybe 10 days later. And I did the same thing and didn't notice any appreciable difference in anything. So that was one of my experiences in circles.
Brings to light a movie and Signs. Have you guys ever seen the movie Signs, where Mel Gibson is taking it out of a farmhouse, and all of a sudden he starts to have these paranormal experiences, crop circles and whatnot appearing in his crops, and all of a sudden, like days later, weeks later, the planet gets invaded by Martians or some shit. Which is kind of funny, it's kind of what they want us to believe, that, you know, it's some malevolent extraterrestrial race that's coming to invade humanity. But, this isn't really gonna go very far.
Did you see Ravana's back in the call?
Oh, holy shit, yo. Okay, yeah, yeah. Hey, Ravana, what's up, dude? Hey!
Yeah, I was sitting here, and all of a sudden my computer just went black, and I had no internet, so I had to take the battery out. That's the whole thing. So, I'm back now.
It's just sometimes I find myself needing to have two people bounce ideas off of the monologue, you know? Shit. It's good to have you back, Ravana. So like I was saying, it brings to light a movie, Signs, with Mel Gibson, crop circles, alien invasion kind of stuff. This is really a difficult thing to talk about, because with what comes to mind is a bunch of different theories. How do you put it down? Why are they here? What are they here for? What is they? Is they more than one? I mean, it's not a really grounded subject. So, anybody here, Ravana, want to bring some grounding to it? Maybe some earth-like mannerisms to a very unearthly topic subject.
Well, I don't think you necessarily have to go off planet to account for them. The source may be off planet, but we have enough things going on here that we're not being told about. You know, Lacerda Files, I think I just saw it last night and I didn't actually get to watch it. And it's supposedly the transcript of an interview with a terrestrial alien entity. It's originally from off planet, but it has been living here for thousands of years. You know, there's
the Lacerda file?
Lacerda or something like that.
I've got it right here. That's the Lacerda file.
Yeah, give me a moment and I'll find the link for you. But
I also have been led to believe that these beings are actually from this Earth, but yet from another plane, another sort of like another wavelength tied to this point in space-time. In other words, another world, like another dimension existing parallel to ours. Subscribe to the idea that it may tie into the Hollow Earth theory, which...
Yeah, absolutely. How far down the rabbit hole do you really want to go? Because at a certain point.
I've gone so far down the rabbit hole. All there is what's next. So let me know, brother.
Well, at a certain point, you start to deal with time travel being a reality and the fact that at some point.
Oh, wow. That was 2 miles back up the hole, dude. Shit.
Yeah. At some point, you have to go into that topic because once time travel exists, it exists everywhere in all time frames. So if 20 years from now the government actually develops time travel, then they can go back and fix what they did in 1943 with the USS Eldridge and with the Montauk Project and with all this other stuff. And, you know, once you start dealing with time travel, then you understand that supposedly, according to one version of things, the aliens that crashed at Roswell were us from 24,000 years in the future.
Well, now, the other thing,
54,000 years in the future. And
the only problem I have with time travel is not that it's not real, because I know time travel is real. It's already been worked out, just on a more subatomic level that we're aware of. However, I'm more of like a Langoliers time traveler myself, where they go back in time and they realize. I know it sounds stupid that I'm quoting movies here, but I mean, it's the only thing I can really think to get in comparison with this idea that I have. Time travel, if you were to go back in time, you would witness sort of like you wouldn't be able to go back in time and prevent or change anything from happening, because those who already occupied that point of space-time had already moved past and moved on to what's next. That consciousness has moved forward, and that part of time would actually instead be empty and succumb to the forces of entropy, sort of like the Langoliers. Have you ever seen this movie?
Yes, great movie, and I believe that that is what happens probably in one of the dimensions, which would be the original or the origination, and once you step outside of that timeline, you try to go back into the same one, you can't get there. You can go back, but it would be a different timeline. It wouldn't be the same one that you came from in that case, if that's what's really happening. That would be my opinion.
Right. I think these beings could be, and of course all I can say is could be, because like I said, the subject was dropped right before 9/11, or right after 9/11, but they could be, in my experience. I've actually encountered a couple or a few of these beings, at least I think I have. I think that they may, in fact, have something to do with time travel because of the way that they show up, because the times that they show up and the way they appear to people, they could, in fact, be us in the future. Of course, then we could go really deep down the rabbit hole and say that they're us from the future trying to. It's sort of like a time travel war, you know what I mean? Where one side is trying to keep us on the negative flow and the other side is trying to prevent destruction, you know? I mean, time travel is really complicated because, I mean, the only thing you have to compare to it are movies, but like Terminator, where John Connor goes back in time and freaking. I'm quoting movies, but, you know, and prevents the world from destruction, from being bombarded by nuclear bombs. Boom, you know? And then there are the Terminators that would much rather see the destruction of humanity, and that kind of could be what's going on now, which is a sort of quantum physical sort of time travel war between us or future us, future good side us, and future bad side us. I mean, is that too deep for y'all?
I think you are absolutely on the money. I mean, they put out a lot of truth in the movies, and if you know how to, you know, pick the truth from what they're trying to distort and present as truth, then, yeah. I mean, look at Donnie Darko back in the day.
Oh, Fantastic. Yeah.
You know? And... You know, yeah, it's
watched that it's, movie like 100 times.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the information is out there, and the thing is, you know, are you familiar with Dan Burrish talking about the Looking Glass and how they were using the time travel technology it wasn't technically time travel, but it was observing alternate time points, put it that way. Alternate timelines or points in the future and past. And yeah, I mean, there's several different timelines that we have open to us right now. One of them is we continue sitting on our asses and don't do anything about the government, and we end up in global slavery. And, you know, several billion of us die, and then the survivors work it out. The other one is there's some type of a catastrophe which kills a very large portion of the societies, destroys what we know as society now, and we rebuild and go on from there. And I think that Fukushima and the Gulf disaster and some of the other things that have been happening, and if we have, you know, one or two major volcanoes or a couple of really, really good earthquakes, we're over the line. We are pushed to that point where there's going to be a collapse of everything as we know it, you know. And once that collapse kicks in, then we can start moving forward, because I personally think we're stuck in Groundhog's Day.
Well, I'll tell you, stuck in a time. If there are infinite number of timelines for every second that we're alive, and an infinite number of possibilities that follow that. That being said, with what I was saying to Bob's backyard the other day, how the past and the future both exist in the present. Because what I was trying to get at was, with every second that passes, another second follows. The same can be said about micro, nano, milliseconds. But when you go on to a really small, small level of how time really flows, it makes you really wonder what time really is. And if it doesn't just rather, at a very fundamental level, exist both now, then, and was, and can be in the now. And how every decision that we make decides which timeline we exist in. And of course, there are timelines, and depending on how things go in the next 10 years, where we are all enslaved, living in prison cities, and it's 1984 in the year 2100. And then there is the Albiolic timeline, where he went into the year 2078, when he ended up into a hospital. For all those listening out there, that's Albiolic. He was on Coast to Coast before he passed away. He jumped overboard during the Philadelphia experiment while they were transitioning, while they were teleporting, and he jumped overboard the ship and woke up in the year 2072, I think it was. And when he did, he woke up in a hospital, and he turned on the TV, basically, and saw maps and programs and stuff, and he saw that the East Coast of the United States has not existed. The West Coast had been half sunken in, and he's asking all of these questions, and they're talking about how in the late 21st century, I mean early 21st century, something had happened, and major cataclysms, one led to another, and well, one could say that that was, you know, 2012, you know, the end of the world scenario, but whatever. And long story short, towards the end of this program, I hear that he goes to the year 23,000 or something, and it's where the whole world is governed by this crystal consciousness thing that's like crystal computer, and cities are in three tiers, which I had thought this would be a great idea myself. If you're going to build a super city, why not build a city in layers on top of itself? That way you could inhabit a large number of people. Well, like billions of people. And what he was saying sort of the same thing, but that buildings were built on top of buildings, on top of skyscrapers, on top of buildings, using anti-gravity technology, which could allow structures to be built that high and allow cities to be built in three-tier or layer cities. And so there are so many different timelines, but with the one that I see us going through right now, it just seems like, I mean, yeah, we've got great technology here. I'm sitting in front of a Energy Star fucking monitor with a mic, and but I think to myself, you know, yeah, we've come a long way, but all I can do is go on the internet and get a bunch of information. My PS3 can't levitate. My phone can't, you know, blast things out of, you know, thin air. I mean, we're not really as far as we think we are. We just have a bunch of bright flashing lights and stuff. What do you think about that? Any comments before I continue ranting?
Jeff Rentz put up a video from one of the, I think it was a TED presentation, this guy talking about the new cell phone that's coming out. And if you look at Minority Report, the computers that they're using, the virtual screens and all that, imagine doing that from a cell phone the size of, say, your Razr. You know, that is going to have a 200 lumen, 4 foot by 2.5 foot, 3D holographic projection screen, an AirTouch keyboard, satellite uplink. I mean, you set it down and you can, you know, if you want to put it on your television, you just tell it to send it to your television and it'll play it on your big screen. I mean, yeah, the technology is ridiculous. He let slip that this is something that the governments and militaries have had for over 10 years, and now everyone has it, so they are releasing it to the public.
See, now that's the thing. They don't release technology. We have hover cars, we have time travel, we have all of that, but people don't know about it because not only does the government not want us to know about it, but that they can't produce it on such a mass scale or find that the public would use it in such a way that it would be productive, and so they can't make any money off of it anyway, so they don't sell it. It's not the technology that we have. It's the technology that they can sell. And I myself actually kind of favor, you know, phones of this size. If I had a phone of like, you know, half of the size, I'd just be like, man, I'm just going to lose that shit. But I thought we had a caller. The government has some great technology, don't they?
I figured it out one day, because from my sources and my information, the military and private side of technology advances approximately 42 years in the private sector for every 1 year in the public sector. So if you go from 1945 till now, that's about 2,000 plus years that the private sector is ahead of the public. So you think about what they could possibly have and be using against us.
That's why it makes me laugh every time I see these people buying a bunch of guns and getting ready to march on Washington. Not because it's not a good idea. By all means, you should do it. It makes senators shit their pants. But, I mean, when you're buying all of these guns, and you could have hundreds of guns, I just think, dude, one of what they got is 100 of what you got, and it's not going to do shit. They want us to fire on them because that way they have an excuse to fire back, and once they do, you're done.
Well, I think the prop that scenario is, you know, yes, they have this superior technology, but the problem is, do they have people that are dumb enough to fire on their own brothers and sisters and wives and children?
No, they don't. That's why they hired foreign militaries. They hired super military force from like Russia and Iraq and China to come over here and do it for them, because they know that Americans won't fire on their own.
Well, but this is the other part of that equation. If they're not going to fire on their own, are they just going to walk away from that equipment, or are they going to, you know, take what they have and join the people that they were supposed to oppress?
What I'm saying is they're going to give that equipment to the Chinese and to the Russian armies that they've hired to come over and do the job for them. It's sort of like Red Dawn, actually, where the United where the government had hired the Russians to come in and do the job that they want to do for them, because they know that the Americans won't fire on their own. This way we can like I'm saying, like, it's pretty much as simple as it gets. They're not going to give this technology to Americans to use on their own. So they're going to have somebody else do the dirty work for them, somebody else who would take pleasure in eliminating the American people.
Yeah, very true. Very true. The great equalizer is going to be those in the military who understand their oath to defend the people and the Constitution and are going to join sides with us. And that's
probably why when this goes down, they're going to have all of the military overseas.
Well, And that's why they're trying to keep all the military run down and all over the world running around doing this, that, and the other thing. They don't want the military at home. That way, when something does happen, another staged event like the Boston bombing, that they can say, okay, martial law, it's over. You know, Chinese troops come in the southwest. Russian troops come in to the northwest. You have UN, you know, NATO bloc countries in the east coast. I mean, they've got it all planned out. You know,
right? They're going to make it. They're going to make it like you know how? Well, all of our soldiers are too busy killing, you know, brown people, as they say. So we're going to hire some Russians to protect y'all from yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
It's a bummer, dude. It really is. This is what you're talking about, the Lacerda file. I see it right here. It's a reptilian looking dude. Just chilling out there on my screen. Yeah, reptilians. Are you down for the extraterrestrial, brother?
Like I said, I didn't get a chance to listen to it last night. I just found it. Probably gonna listen to it later tonight, but like I said, I mean, there's both options. It's not necessarily extraterrestrial. It can be, you know, interterrestrial, underground, hollow, you know, hollow earth, holes at the poles. You know, I never really bought into the whole thing of there being actual physical holes at either the north or the south pole. And
there are no satellite pictures of the North Pole without the hole edited inside. And how, when there are actually airlines that will force the passengers to close the windows as they fly over the North Pole, and with all the evidence and all the scientific data, including Richard Evelyn Byrd, I'm not saying that there are holes at the North Pole, but I'm saying there's a lot of evidence pointing towards it, or at least a lot of speculation.
Well, a friend of mine who's from England was on my show this last summer a couple times, or actually I was on his show, he was on mine, and he has a video that's on YouTube that was sent to him that he uploaded from someone who was flying over the North Pole and, you know, cracked open their window and filmed. And I literally do not have words to describe the beauty and just the stunning impact of what was filmed. It is a giant hole with streamers of light, you know, aurora light pouring into it.
Any way you can send me this footage, brother?
I have it somewhere in my YouTube channel, but I've got like 4,000 videos on my channel right now.
Hey, well, hold on a second. Now we've gone from maybe there's a hole to I'm not sure there's a hole to there's a hole and I filmed it. Holy shit.
Well, not that I filmed it, but this person had someone give him this footage, and he has it on, I don't know if it's on his YouTube or he had someone else put it up exactly. It's been about a year since I actually went and looked at it, but I will see if I can find it and send it to you. I can't it right now. It screws up with the Skype, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, whenever you get a chance, send me that information, because I have been looking for that myself. And Richard Evelyn Byrd, Rear Admiral Richard Byrd, said that he was the first, and he had great credentials. He was, like I said, an admiral in the service. Anyway, he was the first explorer to actually go to the North Pole, fly to the North Pole in an airplane, and he, too, had written about what he called land beyond the poles and lots of other references to Hollow Earth, but I never really read his journal, but I... I feel like I'm talking out my ass, but the dude says it in his writings, and tonight I'm actually gonna look into it a bit deeper so I can give you guys some more information on it. But really good information there. But I'm gonna send you that link to the Lacerda file, which is right here, brother. But this is my theory on the Hollow Earth. My theory is that there are two different dimensions that exist in our that exist on our terrestrial and interterrestrial plane. One dimension is the one we exist within, which is one where the Earth is in fact a solid structure, mantle, core, crust, just as it's depicted in science, but that there is a gateway to an interdimension where, in fact, that core is, in fact, a sun and everything else is a space and this hollow center inside, almost as if you're entering into another dimension where it's sort of like Super Mario Galaxy, maybe. that's like the sixth freaking video game or movie reference I can make, but I mean, I can't really make any other comparison except to say that it would be sort of like another reality where
the planet, may I? I think
yes, that would be
hello.
Great.
Hello. I could hear you pause then. It's like, oh, can I step up and say hello? I did the right thing, put my one in the room, and I just couldn't wait any longer. You're discussing wonderful things, the moon. Oh, dear idea. And, you know, water on the moon, the things we're discovering, the Hadron Collider, what are they up to? The God Particle. Such wonderful things. Thank you for bringing this to the table, to Dark City Radio's table. Hello, everybody. I'm Susan.
Well, I would like to throw out there that, you know, under the theory of whatever you believe imprisons you, if you believe that there is no hollow earth, then there probably isn't. If you believe that there is a hollow earth, then in your reality, there probably is. And the problem is the conflict between the two. Most people can't accept that there simply is more than just one reality. There are many.
See, the thing that the problem we've had with this is that not only does our perception of reality define our reality, reality is also defined by the way it perceives us. We control our own personal reality, but the reality that everyone agrees on is the one that we exist in. However, if we could change universally our perception of our reality, then we could alter the overall reality that we exist in. It's sort of like a receive kind of mechanism. We send information to the universe, but it also sends information back. It's sort of like what Nassim Haramein says. We control our reality, but in a sense, our reality also can control us. It's about you get the idea, I guess. Like for instance, right now, I could change my. I don't know how to put this into context, really. But what were you gonna say, Ravana?
Well, I was gonna say if you go and listen to the videos by Bashar on the internet, just search Bashar on YouTube, and you'll come up with all kinds of videos. Guy is phenomenal. And he explains it this way. Put a quarter in your right hand. Okay? Now, that's one reality. Now, close your eyes and put that quarter into your other hand. You've actually switched to a different reality, because in the original one, you didn't put the quarter into your left hand. You left it in your right hand. So simply by making that decision, you've created another reality. It's as simple as that. And when you understand that, all you have to do is start to change. And every change that you make is going to start affecting the reality around you. All you have to do is just start doing it. Eventually, by making the change and improving yourself, other people will see that, and you will get them to have the incentive to change themselves, because you can't make someone change. They have to do it themselves. And it starts with every one of us.
Man has been gifted with curiosity and free will. See, with animals, their reality is consistent, but with us, we can decide what our reality should be. But now that there are 7 billion of us, we all have to make the same kind of decision, or it becomes either counterproductive or centralized in the area that the person made the decision in. Say, if everybody decided to put the quarter in the left hand, and that were the decision that could lead our world rather from a world impoverished and living as slaves to their government, but rather be harmonious and living with one amongst nature, then that would be a great reality. But unfortunately, not enough of us are making that decision in order for that to become a reality. Hence comes forth the send and receive mechanism of the universe. Unfortunately, more people have to make this decision, sort of like Kymatica. The decisions we make have to become on a more universal scale, like a chain. And then once people make these decisions, the chains that bind us, the shackles of oppression, will be lifted and we will be free.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would like to give a shout out to the, I think it was either Seattle or Portland. Last week they announced that they were donating the land for a park, 7 acres, and a lady was going to supply the money to plant. Everything was going to be edible. All the trees were going to be fruit-bearing. All the plants were going to be edible vegetables and herbs and things, and it was all going to be free for anyone who wanted to take it. And that's what it's going to take, is a few people to start stepping forward and doing things like that.
And that's the thing, man. Not many people want to step forward. I see people like my sister and me, and a lot of people I know who will step forward. But there's a lot of people out there who don't even know that stepping forward is necessary. But that see the world as it is a great place to be. Oh, with all those wars and things blowing up, at least we got TV, right? Fucking right, yeah, TV. I don't have TV, and I don't watch TV, so I'm much more able to see the world as it truly is, rather than the way I'm being told it is. It's sort of like...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's probably one of the key things to get started. Shut off your goddamn television.
Fuck right,
and
brother.
Of your house. Go camping. Do something to go and get back in touch with you and what is really important.
I made a point after the last place that I had that while moving in here, I would never pay for another minute of cable as long as I live, because you're paying for advertisements. Have you ever flicked on the idiot box and sat through 8 minutes of commercials only for it to go back to the news for about a couple seconds? Hey, I'm Larry King Live, and we're back to CNN. Now back to the commercials. And then you watch the commercials for about another 8 minutes, and it does the same thing, and you're like, what did I pay to buy the advertisements? What the fuck, dude? Like, so I don't even watch TV. I mean, watch advertising TV or whatever, because it's pointless. And I just see the world as it is, man. With the news media and with Fox News, and I made a point not to watch it, dude. It's a waste of time.
Yeah. I mean, I watch Alex Jones occasionally. I listen to Glenn Beck occasionally. They do put out good information occasionally, but you have to understand that they're only going to take you so far. And once you understand that, any mainstream or even, large scale mouthpiece is only going to be telling you a certain part of the story, and you've got to figure it out from there. And that's just the way it is. I mean, we are in the age of disinformation. I mean,
we are in the age of deception.
I'm trying to remember the name of the senator who said that when nothing the public believes is true, then our job will be done. And he was referring to the the United States Information Agency, which is, you know, the United States Awareness, whatever, you know, the propaganda agency. Their symbol is a giant Illuminati pyramid with the eye, for God's sakes. I mean, come on.
Oh, you mean the Office of Intelligence or something? OAI?
Information Awareness Agency or something
yeah,
like that.
Information Awareness. Wow. Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was just made up, that was a graphic that somebody designed. Holy shit. But yeah, the thing is, mankind survived, I think it was 10,000 years before the invention of the TV, and to think now that people believe that they can't be happy without it, even though it's only really been around as the way it has for about 50 years, I mean, come on, people now no longer have to seek happiness and entertainment because it is provided to them while sitting down on their lazy boy recliner. But me, like I said, I can't find entertainment with that. 80% of what you see on there is a commercial for a drug, and you know, a drug like Prozac. Prozac, Depakote, Abilify, Lucera, Paxil, Seroquel, Lunesta, you've got Ativan, Zyprexa, Klonopin, Xanax, it just, the list goes on and on. Side effects include, tardive dyskinesia, mental retardation, STDs, clogged drains, I mean, fucking coma. Most of those advertisements, of course, are on the news networks, conveniently enough, because the only way you can actually watch the news is if you're high off that shit. Yeah, man, this Lacerda file, brother, I'll be sure to check that out. This is a shout out to my boy Troy Thibodeau with We Are Change Maine. You should check it out yourself, although I know you probably already have checked it out, because this cat chilling up there in Maine has seen just about every documentary there is out there. Now, with 5 minutes remaining, I'd like to tell people who are listening right now to check out my podcasting site, www.spreaker.com with Truth D Radio Network or Truth Radio Network. And tune in next week on Saturday. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's a wrap, guys.
Alrighty. Can I give a shout out for my show quick?
Oh, yeah, we have 2 minutes left. Here you go.
Oh, alright, cool. Yeah, Ravana9000 on Twitter, RavanaTau9 on YouTube. My show is Beyond the Looking Glass on thesechangingtimesradio.ning.com, and that's times with a Z or a Z, depending on where on this big giant ball you are, hurtling through space following the sun.
Now, I like the way you put that, brother, because we are, in fact, not in still. We are not just sitting in place in the universe revolving around our sun. We are moving through space and time, swirling around our sun with our moons revolving around us. The inaccuracy of the heliocentric model, that is.
Have you studied the Bott model of the universe, where he's talking about how the sun is actually a comet and we're trailing in the coma? Very interesting. I don't know if I quite buy into it completely.
That sounds a bit like Nassim Haramein's model as well.
Yeah, Nassim is awesome. Fantastic information.
Absolutely, but I think there's also a few equations missing from that, and that is sound. You know, as I listen to you gentlemen discuss it, oh, there goes my phone. But thank you for listening to Dark City Radio. It's awesome.
Fucking right. We'll catch you guys next week on Fox News. Make sure you watch our Fox News, not the Fox News, like Sean Hannity and those other fascist scumbags. Peace!